We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Well, episode 3, The Voices of Elon Athletics, opens up on a June Friday. Is Elon volleyball in the midst of the offseason? We've spent some time with Billy Taylor on episode 1 and Tony Trisciani on episode 2, and it's finally time to start talking to the 2021 CAA Coach of the Year and Mary Tindler. Thanks for spending a few moments.
No problem.
Full disclosure, you and I visited on the former home of the podcast via Zoom during the spring of 2020, had a great time, you and your staff getting ready for a busy summer ahead. We won't talk a great deal about the on-the-court team that'll be here in the fall of 2022. But how has it felt to finally get back to a sense of what is normal after the unique challenge of 20 and 21?
Well, it's felt great, but going back to normal, we've been abnormal for so long. It's interesting, some of our players don't know what normal is. They haven't been through that. And that was really evident this spring when it was the first time for many of them, more than half the team, to go a full strength and conditioning session.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got things I got from a junior. You know, I went into the weight room one day and I'm like, hey, you hit really well on the weekend. And she was like, yeah, I think I'm jumping much higher. I think this lifting is really working. And I was like, to hear that as a coach was awesome. And I'm like, yeah, keep working hard, you know. And so I think we're going to see the benefits of that. But all the other volleyball teams are going to do that as well. But it's nice. And but also, you know, as a coach, you know, there's challenges. And as you went through those challenges, it's like, you know, you tell your team, like, you know, no excuses and that sort of thing. So as a coach, you think that same thing and you're like, okay, I'm going to get through this.
One of the great aspects of being a student athlete here is the chance to study abroad at some point in the 4 years. You and your team had a chance to go to Italy in the spring. We'll talk about why that's a no-brainer here in just a little bit. But what does the experience mean for somebody 19 to 22 years old to be able to be in school here, be a student athlete, and then travel outside the country?
Oh, they're so excited. I mean, the months before, they're just asking so many questions. And I think they're really, I mean, they like that they, you know, we talk about you're a student first. And so they get the opportunity to travel abroad just like students do. And to do it with their team is just even better. And You know, they created memories that will last a lifetime. They'll be talking about things they did in Italy 20 years from now. And, you know, it's, you know, walking into the gym and, oh my gosh, these athletes are so big and they look like they're in their 30s. Or, you know, or do you remember when so-and-so wore a strapless dress to the Sistine Chapel and we had to cover her up? You know, things like that. They'll just, they'll be talking about and just feel so lucky, you know, as a coach to be able to take. This was my third group that, you know, I got to take to Italy, and just, you know, I was over there and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I've been to Florence 3 times and I know my way around the city, and all because of this little volleyball that I started, you know, doing a long time ago.
I say it's a no-brainer of a fit, and we'll talk about different stories. You've got one of my all-time favorites that we'll close our visit on with. But I'm assuming because of the conversations we've had on wineries and vineyards, there may have been one or two places or one or two vistas that stand out in a trip like that.
Yeah, we got the opportunity to go to a couple vineyards, and March isn't the best time to see the vines and the beauty of it, but, you know, it's just a lot of fun. It's part of the culture there, and to, you know, for the, you know, players to get an opportunity. Not only did they taste wines, but they saw, you know, how, you know, olive oil is made, and they got to make pasta at the vineyard, and then how you go about a wine tasting and why you start with dries and go to sweets and just, you know, kind of just hang out for the day at a vineyard was just a lot of fun. And then I went to the Elon Library and got a book before I went. I'm like, oh, we're going to be on buses, right? Never read a page of it. I mean, traveling, you just travel from one city to the next, and I just can't stop looking around. I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. And just love the little villas that you see and the you know, the olive trees, and it's just really cool.
Visiting with Elon Volleyball Head Coach Barry Tendler, we had an opportunity to visit with Tony Trisciani back in the second episode, and talked a great deal about golf and talked about bucket list in terms of golf courses. You've had 3 opportunities now to go to Italy, and we talked earlier about your vineyards and the wineries. Are there wineries on your bucket list that you would like to get to that you haven't yet?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, I've never been to Napa Valley. I've never been to the Finger Lakes. Okay. Marty Baker tells me all about the Finger Lakes, and I have to go. And
I don't know. Napa's ahead of the Finger Lakes.
Yes, absolutely. But I really like these smaller vineyards, and more so. So I'm, you know, I do want to get to Napa. But there's some, actually, I mean, there's over 200 vineyards in North Carolina, and there's some I'd like to go to. I've never been to Biltmore before. I feel like I need to go to that.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Not just to the vineyard, but just have the whole experience, the gardens, maybe Christmas time or in the spring or something like that. So I want to do things like that, but haven't gone to Italy a lot. It'd be nice to go just with my husband, get a villa in Tuscany for a couple weeks and just go to some different places and just relax is what I guess would be on my bucket list. Don't know if it's ever going to happen, but can dream about it, that's for sure.
You mentioned Blaine, and we'll talk about him here in just a moment. The 20th year you're head coaching the tenure at Elon Volleyball. It's an incredible number for anybody in any form of business or the professional side. You've talked before, though, about the players you've coached. I get a great sense that the relationships you have with the student athletes, current and former, mean the most in this opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, I feel lucky I get to, I mean, if I'm here for homecoming, I get to see former players come in, come through, come to our matches, stop by, which is really cool. I get baby pictures sent to me and wedding pictures, and which is awesome. Actually, tomorrow we have a little mini clinic going on, and for the first time, I'm going to be able to coach one of my former players' daughters. So yes, when I saw her name on the list, I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this going to feel? I didn't know what, I felt excited, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting old maybe. I don't know. But Emily Hayes, who's one of our top players, Emily married, a baseball player, John Gann, is the volleyball coach at Guilford College, the SWA, and her daughter Madison is coming tomorrow. So, and she'll be here. So things like that is just kind of fun, and you know, excited to you know, whenever we get to see people. We actually see a lot of former players when we travel different places, and quite a few at Towson, and sometimes we get them at Hofstra, and so I love that.
What does it mean to you that they still want to be engaged in the program? That they thought enough of the 4 years here and enough of the time with you that they still want to be engaged, because that's not always the case in a program.
Well, I think it's a lot more than me. I think Elon is a very special place. Yeah. It's a place that, you know, they have great memories at, and as students, as athletes, and they have a lot of friends they made. Yeah. So it becomes a natural place to be able to come back. And be together, whether it's a reunion year or, you know, just something they want to do is, you know, it's just pretty cool. And it's, who wouldn't want to come to Elon?
Yeah.
I mean, really, because the changes, they want to come back and see the changes. They want tours of Shar Center, see their name on the boards, downstairs that they lettered while they were here. And it, not only the players that I coach, but the players, the former players before me, it's been really cool getting to know. And, you know, one of the, you know, some players that are in our Hall of Fame that I've gotten to meet, that I go to For All Occasions for a wine tasting on Friday night, and I see Debbie Hall, you know, one of our all-time greats. Wow. And to me, that's really cool.
Quick reminder that our podcast, The Voices of Elon Athletics, presented by our friends at State Farm Insurance, 100 years of service and providing great rates. And in Burlington, that means the Nicole Cockerham Agency, 336-584-7704. Find out how you can bundle and save with programs like Drive Safe and Save with State Farm and the Nicole Cockerham Agency, 336-584-7704. We're going to talk about your playing time here in just a moment, but we mentioned Blaine, the associate head coach just up the road in Greensboro with North Carolina A&T. Your former assistant, Hal Clifton, is the head coach. Welcome to the winds of conference expansion, and not this coming year, but next year it becomes unique. You play them in non-conference, but now it'll be a conference test and all that fun stuff.
Right. We haven't played A&T for a while because it's kind of a lose-lose situation for me personally, for Blaine and I. So when I knew we were expanding, there was just one school I did not want in the CAA. And, of course, they're in the CAA. But it's a great addition. A&T is a great addition to the CAA. You know, I'm happy that they're there. I think they're going to add a lot to our conference. But, for me, I'm just trying to picture how do we go about that. We open up with them in the CAA this year at their place. So Saturday we play them Saturday afternoon, we play them Sunday afternoon. And so I'm glad it's at the beginning of the conference schedule. Get that over with basically. But I'm just envisioning, you know, Saturday night after we played, I'm going home and trying to, you know, or I'll probably stay late, watch video to get prepared for the next day. What are those conversations going to be like? It's new territory, and I don't really, if anybody has any suggestions, I would love to hear them.
Wide open.
I don't know any coaches that have been in that situation. I know maybe non-conference is different, but in conference when they're so meaningful and one of us is going to lose, hopefully it's not Elon, but you know, that's just a weird situation.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your playing days. We'll get to Illinois in just a moment. 2 years in Europe, but also an opportunity to represent the U.S. in the late 80s and the early 90s. I would think, Coach, that's a pinnacle for anybody in any sport.
Right. It was awesome. I'm glad I did it. I mean, the first match, I remember being in the USA sweats and doing the national anthem, and all of a sudden it just had a whole different meaning because, you know, there's a foreign team on the other side. They played their anthem. So I'll remember that for the rest of my life. And then just the opportunity to travel. You know, I went to Cuba twice at a time when you weren't allowed to go to Cuba. You know, I was in China either before or right after the Tiananmen Square protests. Where they took our luggage, you know, and went through it. We had no luggage for the first day we were there. No, nothing to have. So it was a little scary, but like just those opportunities. But I've been, you know, been to so many different countries, and it gave us, you know, actually made me want to see more of the world. But also I'm 5'10 and a half. I'm very small for a player on the national level. So I was a bench player, role player. Yeah. I was on the scout team, which I had never done before. So I think having those opportunities, you know, I got to go in and try to make a difference really quick, you know. And so going through that, I think it helped me as a coach moving forward. I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, I've been a star of a team. And I've also been that, you know, near the end of the bench person. But I'm glad I went, and I feel like I went as far as I can as a volleyball player. And then it was time for me to go and finish my undergraduate degree, because at the time I didn't have it, and a lot of the players weren't going to go back and get that. And I was close. I had another year, and I'm like, I need that degree, and I need to go back and finish at Illinois.
All right, I'm going to ask you about playing overseas in just a moment, but you mentioned being a role player and being 5'10". Three-time first team All-American, Big Ten Player of the Year three times, and you won the Heisman equivalent in volleyball in 89, top five still in three individual numbers in all of college volleyball. Give me the scouting report on the player.
Ah, that's interesting. I'm small, but I'm really quick in the middle. So that's something you need to have is the middle, because you got to block from pin to pin. So I was better, you know, moving and jumping. I could jump higher than if a player came right at me. So if I was a coach on the other team, I'd tell, you know, hey, set quick sets right at her, you know, right? And then also I could use the whole court. I could see really well. Everyone, coaches always told me I had really good vision. And I, you know, watched for tips and rolls and that sort of thing, because I had to utilize all my shots at the size I was. And so I would say that. And then, hey, at a clutch moment, she's going to get the ball, you know, make sure we get a good block on her, because I was like the go-to player type thing. So I guess that would be what I would tell my team about that. So, yeah.
2 years in Europe. I hear different stories from guys that go over and play basketball in Europe or Australia or places like that. How much did the 2 years help you?
Oh, wow. It's just totally different. Damn. I mean, you have to adapt. Talk about, you know, adapting to new situations, not knowing the language, you know, learning different coaching styles, or you know, sometimes, you know, I have a lot of coaches throughout my playing career, and some coaches, you know, you take the good things from each, and you also try to stay away from the bad things, from things you didn't like necessarily. Yeah. So it was just a different way. I was very much wanting to learn and get better, and I very much into scouting reports and teams, and that didn't go on a lot over there. It was just go play, you're the foreign player, go be the star, you know, type thing. And but you know, I enjoyed just getting to know, you know, teammates and accepting me as someone that didn't speak their language and all of that. So it was a good experience. It's just, again, a lot of memories and a lot of things, that stories to have, that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that went on there, you know. And it's just totally different, you know. In Europe at that time, you know, it was, you know, the players, you drink coffee before matches, and yet people smoke cigarettes right off the locker room after matches. You know, we stopped at spas in the middle of the road trip, and everybody went to the spa. We had, you know, the head coach would drive the van halfway. The assistant would take over.
Morningstar. He'd go head get a coach is driving the van.
Yeah, he'd go get a six pack and start drinking in the van. And I'm like, okay, this is
that.
Definitely not Coach Star. But it's just, you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, this is happening here. And but fun. Again, I didn't play a whole lot on the U.S. national team when I was there.
Yeah.
So I wanted to finish my career on the court playing and getting that last experience. So that's what I did.
I spent some time with one of your former assistants earlier this week, and was fascinated because I knew some of the stories but didn't know everything. I didn't know your husband is in the College Hall of Fame in Saskatchewan until I spent some time with her. And obviously, your Hall of Fame, you're a part of the first class ever with the Illinois Hall. But I thought it was fascinating. 11 of the 12 guys came back on his team. That speaks once again to what you said earlier, the relationships, the memories, and everything else.
Right. It was awesome. I'm glad we got to go back for it. And just to see, I've heard a lot about those teams, the provincial team that, you know, won Canada games. And just to hear the stories from a spouse's, like watching it as a spouse, you know, and him getting to talk to everybody, and they were undefeated. They're all from really small towns in Saskatchewan. And I mean, there aren't any really big towns, but the big towns that are in Saskatchewan, none of them came from that. And they just came together, and there, it was just, the coach was up there just, you know, tearing up as he was talking about it. And it was neat to see that, and glad we went up. I spent 5 days in Saskatoon, and
there you go. There you go.
I mean, who can say they've done that, right? So I enjoyed the trip, and just really, you know, proud of that. I'm glad they acknowledged that team from a while back.
Fans, remember, your nationally ranked D-Line Phoenix football program returns to Rhodes Stadium this fall. 5 home football Saturdays beginning September 17th. Against Gardner-Webb, of course, don't forget Family Weekend, October 1 against Richmond, and Homecoming November 5th against Albany. Those 3 dates, part of a total of 5 home football Saturdays for you to experience Elon football inside Rhodes Stadium. For more information, elon.universitytickets.com. That's elon.universitytickets.com. And we look forward to seeing you inside Rhodes Stadium beginning September 17th for Elonda and Gardner-Webb. You've had great crowds at home, especially with Shar Center and then Alumni Gym those years as well. You had great crowds. You have a special person, though, that comes to some games. Your mother at 88 travels down by herself. That's fantastic.
Yes.
And I know having her here means a great deal.
Oh, I love when she comes. And she watches the matches online. It took her a few years to be able to do that, but she can do that now.
Okay.
And, so she watches them. She's familiar with the players' names and who's who. She's met some of the parents. Obviously she's been a part of my volleyball journey since I was eighth grade, you know. So to, you know, see her in the stands as I'm coaching is just special. I don't know how long she'll be able to do that. You know, but, you know, glad she's been able to make those trips and spend some time with her.
Last time I checked, volleyball is in the fall. You're a lifelong Cubs fan. Tell me about 2016, because I'm assuming the World Series, volleyball season, right at the middle.
Yeah, it was crazy. And some of the games were really, really late.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. And
like 8:20 first pitch late.
I know.
And there
and,
we go.
And they're not short. Baseball is not a short game.
No, it's not.
So I tried to watch as much as I could. But we're like 2016. We're, what, maybe third, fourth year in the CAA?
Yeah.
And, you know, we started CAA with like one win. I was just trying to build up wins, you know, each year, get more wins in CAA play. And so that was going on at the time, and then the Cubs were doing awesome, and I was just, I have been a Cubs fan since, ever since I can remember, grade school, going there for safety patrol or honor roll or perfect attendance. We'd take bus trips from the school, and I'd watch WGN every day at 1:15, and of course my two sisters, my mom would change the channel at 2 o'clock for a guiding light, but it was hard to stay up. It was hard to stay up. And I think I told you this before, but when they won it, I was sound asleep. I am so embarrassed. It's like, how can I tell people I'm a diehard Cub fan when I was sleeping when
because
they won the
Because it started
World
at 8:20, you had the 45-minute rain delay. They didn't win it until after midnight.
No. And now all those Cubs guys are on all different teams, and I still follow. Cubs start a series with the Yankees today, I believe, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be watching Anthony Rizzo play on the Yankees team because I like Anthony Rizzo still. I'm like...
Quick reminder, the Voices of Elon Athletics podcast presented by our good friends at State Farm, celebrating 100 years of providing great customer service. Contact the Jim Young Agency in Greensboro, 336-379-1040. Find out how you can bundle and save with their program, Drive Safe and Save. State Farm Insurance and the Jim Young Agency, 336-379-1040. Visiting with head volleyball coach N. Mary Tendler here on the Voices of Elon Athletics podcast. All right, I mentioned at the start, you've got one of my favorite stories from the visit 2 years back. I'll simply set it up this way. Really good wine that you may drink may not also be the proper wine to utilize when cooking. I'll let you finish.
Yes, my husband does most of the cooking at home. He loves to cook, and I'm the youngest of five, so it was just, you know, when I grew up, it was Mary, get out of the way, go out and play. So I wanted to cook him a meal, and I just, you know, Google stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'll make a stew, right? And so okay. I found a stew recipe, and, you know, in a stew recipe, you put the meat cubes in, and then it says to, you know, put some red wine in to get the flavors off the bottom of the pan.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'm feeling like a really good chef here. I'm going to take wine. So I did it. And so he came home. I presented the wine. He saw the wine bottle. He goes, did you use that wine in there? I said, yes. He goes, that was a $60 bottle of wine type thing. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know. And then after the meal,
the
I'm like,
great.
See, I asked him, I go, well, how did you like the stew? He goes, it's okay. So I used a $60 bottle of wine on some bad stew, evidently. So ever since then, now we have little tags on the bottles that say do not touch, mainly for me.
Coach, thank you very much.
No problem. It's always good talking to you.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.